evening, I wanted to speak about the tochacha, or the tochachos, because there's one in this week's parasha, Parshas Kisavo, and there's one as well, as we know, in Parshas Bechukosai. And one of the most basic questions on the tochacha is, what is the significance of both? Why is there one? Why is there another? What are the differences between them? And where are those differences seen in the psukim themselves? So let's begin with a very fascinating read of the psukim by the Ramban. And the Ramban sees in these two tochachos reference to two different exiles, two different destructions. The Ramban's thesis is that the first tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai is a remez to the first Churban Beis HaMikdash by the Babylonians, to that first Golos of Babel, whereas this week's tochacha, Parshas Kisavo, is a reference to the Golos of today, to the Churban Beis Sheni, to the Roman exile and destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And what's fascinating is to see how the Ramban reads in the psukim indications that this distinction is correct. So let's begin first, source number one. We'll just go through some of the psukim inside and see the distinctions, the subtle distinctions Ramban picks up on. And then we'll get to a little bit more of the, perhaps, hashkafa as to why we are reading the tochacha dafka this time of year. So in source number one, Ramban tells us, he says, V'davi haven, you should know, you should understand, ki ha'olos ha'ela, these curses, and he's writing this in Parshas Bechukosai. So speaking about the first tochacha, he says, these curses, Yirmezu Legolas Rishon, are all an allusion to the first destruction, to the first exile. Why? Ki bebayis harishon, hoyu kol divrei habris hazos, hagolos vageula mimenu. And Ban says, if you look in the Pesukim Bechukosai, you'll see references to all of those incidents that occurred and in fact came true in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. So for example, let's look at these psukim here in source number one from Parshas Bechukosai. Perek Chavav, first Pasuk Lamed. The Pasuk there says, this is the Tochacha in Vayikra, it says, V'hishmarati es bamos seichem, I will destroy your altars. V'hichrati es chamonechem, I will cut down, Rashi says their chamonechem refers to the idols put up high on the roof. I will destroy your Avodah Zarah idols, essentially. V'nasati es pigrechem al pigre gilulechem. I will place your corpses over the dead corpses or carcasses of your Avodah Zarah idols. V'go'ala nafshi eschem. And my soul will reject you, says God. So Ramban first points out that the tochacha here in Parshas Bechukosai speaks clearly of Avodah Zarah. B'moseichem is all about altars for Avodah Zarah worship. Chamonechem, as I just translated from Rashi, is all about the idols they would place high up on a roof top to display it very proudly, very publicly. And Pigrei Gilulechem refers to the Avodah Zarah corpses, the Avodah Zarah idols. So this, says Ramban, is a clear reference to Bayis Rishon, because we know from the Navi that in Bayis Rishon, the Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah. I mentioned on Tisha B'Av morning that if you take a tour of Ir David, the old city of Yerushalayim, in time of the Beis HaMikdash, and they will show you in their archaeological digs how they have recovered these little figurines, these Avodah Zarah idols. And they pose the question, idols here in Yerushalayim? And the answer is yes. Bayis Rishon, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. We found the idols they worshipped, or at least some of them. This, says Ramban, is what the Gemara tells us in Yuma. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. So this first pasuk that we just cited now, says Ramban in Bechukosai, is a clear reference to the Bayis Rishon. And then he cites another two psukim from Bechukosai, also seemingly clearly indicating that the tochacha of Parshas Bechukosai is a reference to what happened during the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Because the Pasuk says in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Lamed He, this is still in source number one, the Pasuk says, Uz, then, Tirtzeh Haaretz Es Shabsoseha. Then, when you are exiled, and your land will be desolate. The Torah says that's when the land will be appeased, or will appease the anger of God for the resting periods. Kol Yemei Hashama, all those days that it will be remaining desolate, it will appease God's anger for those resting periods. Vatem be'eretz oyveichem, while you are exiled in the land of your enemies, oz tishbas ha'aretz, then the land will rest. Vehirtzas es shabsoseha, and it will appease the king's anger for its resting days. What is that a reference to, says Ramban? Well, Chazal tell us. One of the punishments which was viewed as part of Golus Bavel was the fact that the Jews neglected during Bais Rishon to properly observe the Shemitah and Yovel resting years. So the Pasuk is telling us those years of exile after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when then the land will finally be desolate because you'll all be exiled to your enemy's land, that's when the country, the land, will appease God's anger for our failure to observe those resting periods, the Shabsoseha, the sabbatical years of Shemitah. And Rashi there actually, in Parshas Duchakosei, tells us how many years Chazal say was Golus Bavel? 70 years. And Rashi then calculates exactly how over the course of all the years that Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, if you count up all the numbers of years, hundreds of years that the Jews had Beis Rishon, and you count how many Shemitah years and Yovel years occurred over that period of time, you'll get to 70 years, 70 Shemitah and Yovel years that the Jews did not observe during Beis Rishon. That, says Ramban and say Chazal, is what's meant by this pasuk here, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, you will atone for those failures of observing Shemitah with the Golus of Bavel. So Ramban says, yet again, another indication that the Chukosai Tochacha is all a reference to the Churban and the Golus of Bais Rishon. And then he has another interesting point. He says in source number 2, if you look now at the conclusion of that first Tochacha, when God kind of reassures us, and this is at the end in Perek Chav Vav, after the bitter description of the suffering and of the Tochacha and of the Golus and the punishments, so here in source number 2, you'll see a pasuk here, pasuk Mem Beis, Perek Chav Vav, where it says, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avram eskor, v'aretz eskor. God, after describing the punishments of the Tochacha, says, but I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, my covenant with Yitzchak, my covenant with Avram, I will remember, and the land I will remember. That's God kind of reassuring us after all of that terrible description of suffering, that God will remember the covenants. So fascinating how Ramban reads that pasuk. In source number 2, the Ramban says, V'histakel od b'inyan ha-ge'ula mimenu. Look how the Torah in that pasuk describes the redemption from Golus Bavel, from the first Golus. And Ramban picks up on something very fascinating. He says, She'eino maftiach, all that God promises us is rak she'yizkor bris avos, that he will remember the covenant of our forefathers. U'b'schiras ha'aretz, and he'll remember the land. It does not say, writes Ramban, lo she'yimchol avonam v'yislach chatosam. There's no mention in B'chukosai, but don't worry, eventually I'll forgive you. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Vi Yosef Ahavasam Kikadam, I will renew my love for you. It doesn't say, Veloshe Yesof Es Nidchayim, I'll bring you all back. So Ramban says, look at this. What a strange way to reassure us. After describing the exile, the suffering, the punishment, the destruction, it doesn't say, but don't worry, I'll eventually forgive you after all that. It doesn't say, don't worry, I'll bring you all back. All it says is, I'll remember my covenant with the forefathers and I'll remember the land. That's a very somewhat short of the mark kind of promise. Why? So Ramban says remarkably, he says, because what in fact happened after Golus Bavel? The Jews did not all come back to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, only a small fraction of them came back. The majority of them decided to stay in Bavel with their nice big luxury homes and with their non-Jewish wives, a lot of them. They weren't interested in going back to Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing bit of history and mussar at the same time. And Ramban says, he says, what happened when the Jews returned from Babel? Shaloshavu rak Yehuda u'binyamin v'halavim imahem ma'at. Shevet Yehuda went back. Shevet Binyamin. Some of the Levim went back. U'miktzas hashvatim ashagalu l'Babel. Some of the tribes who were exiled to Babel, they went back in poverty, says Ramban, to Eretz Yisrael. They went back still as servants of the Persian kings. As we know from the Purim story, from Sefer and from Ezra Nehemiah, it was the Persian kings who gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. It was under their authority that the Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, but they were still in charge. It wasn't a throw off the yoke of the non-Jewish sovereign and declare independence for ourselves, and we all return back marching proudly under the banner of the Jewish king of Israel. No, it was a small minority of Jews who went back as servants and as subjects of the Persian king, and the vast majority decided to stay in Golos, where they were quite happy and uninterested in going back to Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing history and Musar. Right. In fact, Knitziv, in one of his letters, Knitziv was well known for having been a supporter of the Chovev Etzion movement, the Zionist movement in the late 1800s, even after it was criticized very fiercely by many of the leading Gedolei Torah because of its secular leadership and of the irreligious secular nature of the many of the settlers who were going back to Eretz Yisrael. And it's even invoked this return from Babel to Eretz Yisrael in one of his letters as proof that back then too, there were Jews who were intermarried who went back to Eretz Yisrael. They weren't all so frum and so religious, and that still was the ultimate lead up to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash of the second Beis HaMikdash. Since it actually uses this history as, like you said, precedent for modern times in seeing how perhaps sometimes things aren't what you would expect them to be, but nonetheless, it doesn't mean that they're not going to lead to something greater that we all hope for. But the Ramban though says, very interestingly, yes? You're correct that the Navi tells us that Sancheirav exiled the 10 tribes before Yehuda and Binyamin were exiled. But I guess what Ramban means is that, yes, those tribes were exiled first, but they all had the chance to come back, I guess, but very few of them chose to do so. You're right, primarily it was Yehuda and Binyamin who were exiled at the very end. That's correct. So Ramban says, so why is it that the psukim in Bechukosai don't speak of forgiveness for sin and a renewal of that love and an ingathering of the exiles, because in Golas Babel, there wasn't any such ingathering of exiles. It was a small minority of Jews that came back, and most of them did not. So Ramban therefore says, looking at source number 3, says, V'chol eile devarim berurim bebris hazos. It's clear in the Tochacha of Bechuk Hosai, Shehu be'emes yirmos legolos harishon vagu'ula memenu. Bechuk Hosai is all about the first destruction, the first golos to Babel, and the redemption from Babel, which wasn't really a complete redemption because not all the Jews, not even most of them, returned. Which incidentally is very fascinating. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Emes LeYaakov writes that if you think about it, the golos Babel, I should say the Geula from the Golos Babel, was so incomplete. Most Jews didn't come back. And perhaps for that reason, he says, the second Beis HaMikdash was also lacking. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron, no Kapores, no Kruvim. There was no constant fire burning on the Mizbeach. There was no Shechina. There were so many critical components of the second Beis HaMikdash lacking in comparison to the first Mikdash. First Mikdash, the highlight, the focal point of the Mikdash was the Aron, the Kruvim, the Kaporis. You missed that in second Beis Mikdash. You didn't have it. Very strange. So Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, he says, because the second Geula and the second Mikdash was not really ever meant to be permanent. It was never complete to begin with. He views it as almost like a kind of temporary respite from Golos. Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, the second Geula and second Beis HaMikdash was a temporary respite from the horrors of Golos to reinfuse Klal Yisrael with strength to then carry on into the future centuries of Golos. Almost like an island of a brief re-energizer, if you will. Very interesting perspective. But the Ramban says that the first tochacha is all about the first Chorban and the first Golas and the first Geula from Babel. And now it's source number three. He comes to our parsha. And let's see how he reads the Psukim in our parsha. He says, second paragraph, Aval Habris Sheba Mishneh Torah. But in Mishneh Torah, in Devarim, Yirmaz Legalusenu Zeh. This week's parsha is all about the current Golos. Vile Geula Shenigoel Mimenu. All about the coming Geula that we will soon experience as a people. He says, Ki histakalnu tchila shlo nirmaz sham keitz v'katzev v'lo hiftiach b'geula rak tala osa b'tshuva. This tochacha, says Ramban, will end when what happens? Not at some predetermined time, suggests Ramban, but when Klal Yisrael does tshuva. That's what brings us back from this galus. If we look at the end of this week's parasha, looking for the psukim, this week's tochacha, the Ramban says that there is no deadline, so to speak, for when the geula will come. It's all about doing tshuva. It's all about doing tshuva. That's what this week's tochacha is all about. That's what brings the end to this week's description of the Golus and to the Geula Mimenu. He says, in fact, he says, there's no mention in this week's parasha of Avodah Zarah as the source of the Golus. Rather, he cites here in the bold highlighted black, he says, the pasuk says, V'haya im lo tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor lasos es kol mitzvosav v'chukosav. No mention here of Avodah Zarah. Rather, simply a general vague reference of if you don't keep God's commandments. So Ramban explains, he says, because the punishment of Chorban by Yisheni was a result of simply violating Ktsas mitzvosav shelo yishmru. The Yasu is Kulan Ye'anshu. It's because that they did not keep all of the mitzvos. It wasn't because of Avodah Zarah. And he cites the famous Gemara. Why did Churban Bayis Sheni happen? Ramban cites the Gemara Numa. Bayis Sheni says, Ramban, they were Osik B'Torah, they were Gomel Chesed, they were good Jews, learning Torah, doing Chesed. Why was Mikdash Sheni destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. So that's why this week's parsha makes no mention of, oh, you sinned with Avodah Zarah, that's why you're going to be destroyed. No, there was no Avodah Zarah in Bayis Sheni. It was all about Sinas Chinam. It was, you didn't listen to God to keep all the mitzvos that I've commanded you to keep. That's why they were exiled, says Ramban, in Bayis Sheni. That's this week's parsha. And then look at the next highlighted black lines in source number three. More psukim from this week's parsha. Interesting, fascinating, when I look at this pasuk. The pasuk says in Chaf Ches Memtes, it says, Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Me Rachok. In this week's parsha, the Tochacha, says, God will bring upon you from a great distance a nation, Mikzeh Haaretz, from the edge of the earth, Kaasher Yid'eh Hanosher, like the eagle suddenly flies. Am I mistaken in thinking that the Roman legions had an eagle as their symbol? Is that not fascinating?
Yes.
So the pasuk speaks here of, I will bring upon you a distant nation that will fly in like an eagle. And Ramban says, this is the pasuk referring to the Roman destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Pretty remarkable. I don't think he makes mention of that eagle similarity, but he says, Shebo Alehem Am Romi Harachokim Mehem Ma'od. The Romans were from far away. In the first Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed by the Babylonians, those guys came from Iraq. That was just north of Eretz Israel. That was very close by. Second Beis HaMikdash, these Romans had to march across Europe, come across the Mediterranean. They had to come across from way out from Italy to come to where the Jews were in Eretz Israel. That's Goy Merachok, a distant nation flying in like the eagle. And then further says Ramban, look at the other highlights here. Pasuk Lamed Vav, El Goy Asher Lo Yodata, a nation that you never knew. Goy Asher Lo Tishma Lashono, a nation whose language you will not be able to understand. So Ramban says, think about it. In the first Beis HaMikdash, Babylonians, that was close by. Aramaic was a commonly spoken language that everyone recognized and knew, Jews and non-Jews alike. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, except for Daniel is all about Aramaic. So they knew the language, says Ramban. But the Roman destruction, second Beis HaMikdash, that was a Goy Ashelo Tishma Lashono. That was a Goy Ashelo Yadata, Latin. Who spoke Latin in Eretz Yisrael? That wasn't the language they understood. And Ramban furthermore says in source 4, look at the psukim highlighted here, again from this week's parsha. V'hafitzcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim mekteh ha'aretz bat kteh ha'aretz. God will scatter you around the entire world. That, says Ramban, is the current Golus. Golus bubble was very contained. It went to Iraq, to Persia, that was it. Another pasuk says Ramban, this week's parsha. V'heshivcha Hashem mitzrayim ba'anios. God will ship you off to Egypt in boats. When were the Jews sent off in boats? Not in Golus Bavel primarily, but the Romans, of course, shipped off all their captives by boats back to the Roman Empire. Says Ramban, this was our Golus, he says. Titus filled boats with the Jewish hostages. He says, so it says in the Sefer HaRomim, in the book of Romans. He's quoting Josephus and his histories of what happened in Churban Bayis Sheni. The Jews were shipped off in boats in captivity. Look at the psukim again, he cites. Banecha uvnosecha nesunim la'am acher ve'einecha ra'os. You will see your children being given off to a foreign nation and you'll be helpless. Banim ubanos tolid, you will give birth to children. Ve'lo yilach, you won't keep them. Ki yelchu b'shevi, they'll be shipped off into captivity. Says Ramban, in Golus Bavel, families went together to Persia, to Bavel. It was in the Roman destruction and exile that boys and girls were shipped off as slaves to faraway lands, and the parents were kept in Eretz Yisrael. So Ramban, picking up on all these psukim, says it's quite clear that whereas Parshas Bechukosai was all about the Golus of Bavel, the first destruction, the return from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, this week's parsha is all about our Golus, the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Roman destruction, the Roman exile, and the horrors that happened over the course of this current exile. In fact, a story is told that after the war, Second World War, when the Klosenberger Rebbe came from Europe to Williamsburg and established a minyan in Williamsburg, so as you know, there are some that have a minhag when they read the Tochacha to read it in an undertone. And apparently the Klosenberger Rebbe, when the Balkari got up in his minyan, right after the war, when he first came to these shores, Balkari read the Tochacha in an undertone. Klosenberger, I think I mentioned this in Shul once, gave a clap. Hecher! Louder! The guy was a little taken aback. Maybe it was too quiet. Maybe no one could hear him. So he raised his voice a notch. The Rebbe clapped again. Hecher! Louder! Again, he upped it a notch. It still wasn't good enough. The Rebbe wanted full volume. So he yelled again. Hecher! He said, all of this just happened to us. What are you afraid of now? Meaning, the current Golus, especially the Shoah, which he had survived and suffered through, and Nebuch lost his family in, he saw this all as the Tochacha, this Golus, this Churban. Churban Europe was all part of the Tochacha. So he said, nothing to be afraid of already. Happened already. Happened already. Now, it's actually not by coincidence that we read the Tochacha every single year just before Rosh Hashanah. And the reason for this is, maybe we'll skip a few sources here to source number 5. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, tells us the following. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra tikein lahem li Yisrael, Shiyu korin klolos shebetoras kohanim kodem atzeres, sheb mishne Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. Ezra specifically instituted for Klal Yisrael that the curses, the tochacha of Parashas Bechukosai, should be read before Shavuos, and the tochacha of Parashas Kisavo, this week's parasha, should be read before Rosh Hashanah. Now, Actually, Rav Sacks mentioned this Gemara this morning in Yeshiva, and he cited Tosfos there, who says, this is why, if you think about it, after Pesach, when we here in Chutz Laretz and they there in Eretz Yisrael sometimes out of sync in terms of our Kriyas Torah. So we finally get back together at Parshas Matos Maaseh, when we suffer through the double doozer, we put it all together, and we read, actually combine Parshas Matos Maaseh to combine two into one, to catch up, right, to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, because they're one ahead of us, because sometimes when the last day of Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so they don't observe Yom Tov last day, eighth day, they're already laning the next Parsha. We in Chutz Laretz are still laning Yom Tov laning, so we're one Parsha behind in Kriyas HaTorah. So when do we catch up? We remain behind until we finally catch up with the double Matos Maaseh Parsha. So Tosfos is bothered of all the Parshas to pick to put together. You couldn't like think of in some Vayelech instead to put together? Why? Take the two big ones and put those together. And you have everyone in shul for 3 hours Shabbos morning. I have a better idea. Nitzam Vayelech, two cute little parshas. Just put those two together and you add in half the time. Why do you have to combine Matos and Maaseh? Just combine Nitzam Vayelech, much easier. So Tosfos says, no, because of this takana. If you combine Nitzam Vayelech, means you're waiting until after Rosh Hashanah to catch up. That means Kisava won't necessarily be before Rosh Hashanah. Because we must, as this Gemara indicates, lane Kisava before Rosh Hashanah, we therefore can't wait to combine Nitzav and Vayelech. We got to combine something earlier. So we combine Matos and Maaseh. Now, the bottom line, though, is the following. Why is this so significant? Why is it that we have to read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Kedei shetichle hashana uklaloseha. We want the year to end with its curses. Kisavo, the Tochacha, is the curses. We want to be done with that before the new year. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So Rav Gedalia Shor in his Or Gedalia suggests that the klalos, the curses, represent Klal Yisrael's failures, our less than happy times. And Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of a new year is a new beginning. It's a hischadshus. It's a start fresh opportunity. We symbolically want to leave behind the deficiencies, shortcomings, failures of the past year. And so Kisavu, the Tochacha, the curses that represent our failures, that's part of the last year. The new year starts fresh, a new hischadshus, new opportunity, opportunity to start fresh all over again. But in addition to that, Shlomo Brevda explained as follows, perhaps what you were saying, Ms. Kitenka, before, that he asks like this. He says, you want the year and its klalos to end. So you read the Tochacha, and therefore now that's behind us? Well, then why are we now saying Slichos as we enter into Rosh Hashanah? Well, what are we afraid of now? What are we still doing? So he explains very simply like this. He says as follows. He says, Ezra Soper wanted us to read the Tochacha just before Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because you read the Tochacha and you read and you think and you look at the Golos, at the Churban, at the Onesh, at the punishment. What's it for? It's because of our Averos. We're being punished for leaving Torah, leaving mitzvahs, lack of observance. It's meant to jar us into introspecting. Look what the Torah says will happen as a result of one's misdeeds. And with that in mind, we then are inclined, hopefully, to introspect, to examine ourselves a little bit more carefully. Cheshbon HaNefesh, Vidui Charata. That's what is supposed to spark the tshuva process that brings us into Yom Rosh Hashanah, Seis Mei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur. We bedafka want the Tochacha to be read before Rosh Hashanah to drive home this message. Look what happens as a result of one's misbehavior, spiritually speaking, and that should spark a introspective process which generates the tshuva of the upcoming Yom Naraim. It's by reading the Tochacha first that we then will be zocha to tichle hashana uklaloseha. So that's perhaps Pshat says, Shlomo Brevda, in this Gemara and this Takana, to read the Tochacha just before Rosh Hashanah, to spark a introspective process of tshuva. But one last thought, beautiful thought, which Rabbi Sacks mentioned this morning in Yeshiva, which is the following. The Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Zayin tells us that the Tochacha is one of the places in the Chumash where we find that Klal Yisrael are held jointly responsible for each other, for one another. Arvus. Klal Yisrael Revim Zebazeh. The Gemara in Sota says that in the Tochacha we find that every Jew is responsible for the Kiyam HaMitzvos of each and every other Jew. The nation gets punished as a whole. Everyone's responsible for every other Jew's Kiyam HaMitzvos. The bris, which here in source number 6, Ushmartem es divrei habris hazos, you should guard and carefully watch the words of this covenant. The bris, the Gemara Sota and Rashi there tells us, means a covenant that every Jew is responsible for every other Jew. A notion of arvus, of responsibility, of guaranteeing that I worry not just about my own personal spiritual well-being, but about everyone else's spiritual well-being as well. So Rasak suggested that perhaps we bedafka want to read the Tocha before Rosh Hashanah. Because what better way to enter into Yom HaDin than with a sense of arvus, reminding ourselves that we are all responsible for everyone else's Avodas Hashem and Ruchnius. It's not that I just am worried about myself and I lock myself in a little cave and I do my thing and I'm good and that's all I care about. But the arvus, the bris that was imposed upon Klal Yisrael with this Tochacha is that we are all, as a people, jointly responsible for every other Jew's religious observance as well. And when one enters into Rosh Hashanah with a sense of responsibility for the Klal, what greater zechus on Yom HaDin than to be inspired by the reading of the Tochacha first, to recognize that it's not just me for myself, but it's every Jew for every other Jew. We all have a jointly shared interest in being the Kaddish Shem Shemayim by ensuring that all of Klal Yisrael, to the best of our ability, is Ovid Hashem properly and performs mitzvos as we all should. And what greater schus v'yom hadin than to renew our sense of arvus for each and every other Jew. Okay, thank you all for coming. And good evening. Next week, Blessed Hashem, should be regular time.